The Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto, starring Mr. Raymond Massey. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Jewish Committee, brings you a special Jewish holiday broadcast commemorating the eight-day festival of Hanukkah, which begins next week. Hanukkah celebrates the heroic Maccabean revolt against the Syrians and symbolizes the triumph of light over darkness. Today you will hear a modern parallel of the Maccabean revolt with a dramatization of the Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto, written by Morton Wishengrab and starring the distinguished actor of stage and screen, Raymond Massey, as Isaac Davidson.
It is a prayer for the dead. El Mole Rahamim. Hear him with reverence. For it is no ordinary prayer. They are not the ordinary dead. They are the dead of the Warsaw Ghetto, the scapegoats of the century. Once the priest robed himself in linen and stood on Sinai in a convocation of Israel. And they brought unto him a live goat, chosen by lot. And he laid his hands on the goat's head and confessed over it the iniquities of the people. And he released the goat, and its name was Azazel, scapegoat, and it fled into the wilderness. But for them in the ghetto of Warsaw, there was no release. There was only the abyss. In the ghetto, 35,000 stood their ground against an army of the Third Reich. 25,000 fell. They sleep in their common grave. But they have vindicated their birthright. Therefore, let him sing. Hear him with reverence. For they have made an offering by fire and an atonement unto the Lord. And they have earn their sleep.
My name was Isaac Davidson, and I lived in the Polish city of Lublin with my wife, Bora, and Samuel, our son. When Poland fell, they herded us into a cattle car and transported us to the ghetto of Warsaw. It was a place in purgatory, and around that purgatory, they had built a brick wall, and around the brick wall, another wall of barbed wire. And beyond the barbed wire stood a third wall of soldiers armed with bayonets.
All right, there. Move on. Next. Lively.
Your name?
Isaac Davidson. Who are they? Bora Davidson. Samuel Davidson. My wife. My son.
Three blue cards. Get along.
Three blue cards, stamped with the letter J. Bread cards. Each card a pound of bread a week, as precious as life. Bora held the cards in her hand, and we went to the tenement in the Farda district, to the place where we were to live. We went up the stairs of the tenement. And Samuel and I waited in the hall while Cora spoke to the woman who lived there.
Yes? They said you would know where we are supposed to stay.
Oh. Come in. This is where you stay. In this room.
But you live here.
In this corner. The other corner is yours.
I thought...
You don't know how lucky you are. This room has a window.
Perhaps we shouldn't trouble you. Maybe some other place.
Oh, you'll find out. Before they walled the ghetto, 50,000 people lived in these slums.
Yes.
Do you know how many there are now? 500,000. Half a million. I know a man who sleeps in a vault in the cemetery. Oh, don't be a fool. Come in. This is still better than a cemetery.
That was our room. And because Cora lived in it, it was also our home. There was no soap, but she cleaned it. There were no needles, but she made a cloth for the table. There was no lamp in it, yet she filled it with light. Then when she found a box, our son Samuel scrabbled up some earth and a few pathetic blades of grass. And Cora put the box on the sill of the window.
There. Now our house has a garden.
Yes, Cora. Our house has a garden.
You say it as though it isn't true. Look, Isaac. Look at the sun. There's no land where the sun doesn't shine. Let it shine here on something green in the ghetto.
Green grass in the Warsaw ghetto. A few pathetic blades of green in the scrabbled earth. But a sign of a living spirit and a proof that where the spirit lives, there can be no degradation. There in this place of death, shut off, walled in, foredoomed, there were things of the spirit done by men and women like Cora. In the ghetto of Warsaw, there was beauty and comradeship and learning.
Now we'll see if you've learned your lesson. There are seven marks of an uncultured man and seven marks of a wise man. Do you know what they are, Samuel?
The wise man does not speak before him who is greater in wisdom. He does not break in on the speech of his fellow. He is not hasty to answer. He questions according to the subject matter and answers to the point. He speaks upon the first things first and upon the last last. Regarding that which he has not understood, he says, I do not understand it. And he acknowledges the truth.
And the mark of an uncultured man, Samuel?
The reverse of all these things.
It seems you did study your lesson, sir.
Weissmann's theory of germinal continuity. Weissmann's theory of germinal continuity. How can I finish the recitation when they talk?
Please, all of you. This is a classroom in the ghetto. It's different from other classrooms. We must be an example. Thank you. Go on, Esther. The theory of germinal continuity.
The germ contains living material which has come down in unbroken continuity ever since the origin of life and which is destined to persist in some form as long as life itself. While Weissmann's name is chiefly associated with it...
Well, what's it supposed to be? I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those surrealists. Well, don't give up. I'll make a sculptor out of you yet. It's all right with me. If you're willing, I'm willing. But my father made me a plumber, and I guess I'll always be a plumber. Now, if I had my tools and a piece of brass pipe, I'd show you some real sculpture.
Say, ah. Ah.
Ah.
Wider. Wider. Ah,
a little more. There, that will do, my boy. Why didn't you bring him earlier?
Oh, it's my fault, Doctor. I didn't know there was a clinic.
His tonsils are badly infected. They'd have to come out.
I don't have any money to pay you.
There's nothing to pay here. Money can't buy what no one will sell to us. Drugs, instruments, anesthesia.
Then you operate without anesthesia.
Please, Doctor,
Will it hurt?
Yes, it will hurt. In the ghetto, everything hurts. Perhaps tomorrow it will be different.
The ghetto waited for tomorrow. It tried to do so with dignity and self-respect. Sometimes it was hard, but the ghetto tried. It was a somber, grim, melancholy place, heavy with the foreboding of death. But we encouraged each other to work and study and to laugh. Yes, to laugh also. We organized four theaters, but our greatest pride, our finest symbol, was our orchestra. The Ghetto Symphony.
We'll try it again from the same place. Now, please, watch the stick. We're going to start together and finish together. All right, now.
Hunger on the clear, sweet sound. But since the Heron folk, the master race that erected the walls, since they intended that we should be hungry, they came and confiscated some of the instruments. First, they took only a few, then more. Our orchestra dwindled. It became an ensemble. And then the Heron folk came again and stole more instruments. The ensemble became a quartet. And then... a single solo violin was left. Why did they do it? Perhaps it irritated them. Jews satisfying a hunger. We were left with hunger. Where there is hunger, the plague always follows. The plague came. 17,800 persons died of spotted typhus in Warsaw. And of these, 15,758 were Jews. A pestilence imprisoned behind a brick wall. A great achievement of medical science. I say it without irony. Yes, 15,758. And Bora Davidson, my wife. 15,759. Samuel, leave her. You cannot help her anymore. Come here. She cannot hear you. You are a big boy. You must not cry. Here. Let me wash your face. She would not like to see you with a dirty face. Stop crying now.
I'll try.
Will you do something for me, Samuel?
Yes, if I can.
I want you to go to your corner and try to go to sleep.
I couldn't sleep, Papa.
Then go to your corner and turn your face away. Mind me. Do as your father says. That's right. To the wall. You are a good boy, Samuel.
You will not hurt her, Papa.
No one can hurt her. I am taking off her clothes, her apron, her dress, Uncle Avrum's shoes, everything. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither.
You are going to carry her into the street?
Yes. After dark, I am going to carry her into the street, and I will leave her there, cold, naked, nameless. You know why I must do this, Sam? They must not be able to identify her. They must not know who she is.
It's because of the bread card, Papa.
Yes, it's because of the bread card. If they know she is Bora Davidson, they will take it away.
Please, Papa, please, let them take it away. Not in the street.
It is her last wish, Samuel. The bread card is for you. Honor her last wish. The blue card with the letter J. A pound of bread a week for her son.
I won't take it. I can't.
You must, Samuel. Once you took her milk, now you must take her bread. She leaves you nothing else. You must take it, Samuel. It is your inheritance.
Iskadal v'yiskadash me'rabo Ke'olmo divro firusei v'yam lich malchitei V'chayei chrono v'yomei chrono v'chayei chrono.
Was our degradation. In the ghetto of Warsaw, we divided dead men's bread. Have you tasted dead men's bread? The taste is bitter, and it is dry in the mouth because the saliva will not flow. This is what we ate, and this is how we lived. The 500,000 of the Warsaw ghetto. But not 500,000 for long. On June the 22nd, 1942, armored cars escorted a convoy of black trucks into the ghetto. They seized men and women and children and packed them into the trucks, and these were the uncoffined dead who never returned. And each day thereafter, the black trucks came. And each day when they left, there was weeping in the ghetto. I have seen the faces of the men that did these things, the men who came in the armored cars. They were men, like other men. Some were old, some were young, with eyes, with skin and flesh and nails, and the requisite number of fingers. I looked into their faces and did not believe, but the trucks continued to come. And it must be said that if the things that they did were monstrous, they were monstrous things done with order and with method, for they take pride in order.
July 22nd, 1942.
6,289. Destination,
Kremlinka. July 23rd.
7,815.
Destination, Ostend. July 24th.
7,444.
Destination, Belzec.
July 25th.
Done with method. Precise, efficient, recorded. To Kremlinka, Osviansen, Belzec, Sobibor, Majdanyi. A lethal gas chamber, an electric cell, a poison pit, an execution field, a cemetery. And add also 10,000 brave, hopeless, tragic men who seize sticks and stones and knives and bare fists and charge the tanks and try to halt the trucks. Add their bodies to the list for the 10 days of June 1942. Make your total and then add two methodical, precise, documented months in August and September 1942. Reckon it. Do it carefully. You cannot do it on your fingers, but I will give you the sum. Listen. 275,954 fewer bread cards in the ghetto. Swift, accurate, final. Quicker than typhus. Surer than hunger. They sent the black trucks because the hunger and pestilence were too slow and too merciful. When we were starving, we beseeched the civilized world for food. And when the plague struck us, we appealed for simple things, soaps, medicine, tools for our physicians. But when the black trucks came, we no longer asked for rescue and for mercy. We asked for weapons. Through the Polish underground, which carried our appeals, we asked the people of England, Russia, and the United States for weapons. And there was silence. You did not answer. And then, through the Polish underground, there came your answer. Resolutions of sympathy, phrased with felicity. It was a greater injury than silence. I, who know, can say to you that the grave does not yield its tenant for such coin, nor will such coin cause the enemy to lie down and crimson the gutter with his blood. We waited for weapons that did not come. 500,000 waited. 300,000 waited. 100,000 waited. And finally, 35,000 waited, who did not know where to look. But the answer came from under their feet, from the sewer under the Warsaw Ghetto.
Carry it gently, Ponmeyer. Don't let it fall.
I'm carrying it as though it were a case of eggs.
More gently than that, Ponmeyer.
What could be more fragile than a case of eggs?
A case of dynamite.
The rifles are already distributed. Our men want to know if there will be any machine guns.
If we can get some through, there'll be machine guns. But don't count on it. We will have to make out with rifles.
Won't be much against tanks and mortars.
It will be better than bare hands.
Yes, better than bare hands. Much better.
Friend, the ghetto council would like to know your name.
What difference does it make?
They want to thank you.
Tell them to thank the Polish underground. Take good care of those barrels. There are enough grenades in them to blow up every Jew in the ghetto.
And there must be enough grenades in them to blow up every German in Washington.
I'm glad you see it that way.
What do you think we've been waiting for?
April 19th, 1943. 35,000 men, women, and children stood ready. It was the day. Trenches were dug during the night. Every house, every room, every cellar, every roof was prepared. At 4 a.m., a detachment of stormtroopers in light tanks escorted the black trucks to the walls of the ghetto. They came, as usual, on their daily errand. We waited until the vehicles were within range.
Fire!
The entire detachment was wiped out. In a few hours, they came again. SS troops, stormtroopers. Our snipers manned the ghetto wall itself. We were ready. They brought up a loudspeaker.
Jews, put down your guns. You have the chance of the world against us. Put down your guns, Jews. We'll give you 15 minutes to make up your minds. And if we will come after you. Jews, put down your guns. It's your last chance.
That was the answer. That and the flags of the United Nations which floated over the roofs of the ghetto. More answers. 800 answers. 800 factories producing material for Germany, blown up by our engineers.
You still have another chance. Jews, put down your guns. Put them down and come out of the buildings. And you will be treated with mercy.
They brought up the regular army. The ghetto had defeated the stormtroopers, and now it was the ghetto against the German army. We retreated slowly from our positions as they sent flamethrowers, mortar, cannon, tanks, and planes against us.
April 20th. April 25th. May 2nd. May 5th. May 10th. May 14th. May 18th. May 20th. May 22nd. May 25th.
They planted landmines under the tenements and blew them up one by one. The tenements crumbled. But from the rubble of the shattered cellars, the snipers kept up a continuous fire. The surviving men and women and children retreated slowly from house to house, erecting barricades in the streets, paying with their lives for every tenement, every room, every step of the way. When their ammunition ran out, they used broken furniture as clubs and hurled stones. On the 20th day, the enemy shut off the water supply. Planes dropped incendiary bombs. The entire ghetto was in flames. Those who were not burned alive were slaughtered by the Nazis.
Isaac, here in the trench.
His right arm had been blown off at the elbow. I spoke to him. Let me tie a tunic here around your heart.
No, no,
Don't waste the bandage on me. Tell me, Isaac, how is it going?
We're still fighting.
After 37 days, a few Jews with guns fighting a Nazi army for 37 days.
The blood ran from the shattered stumps and soaked the ground. But he smiled.
They're really very foolish. They should have known that the ghetto would explode.
They know now.
How many did we kill?
Some say 1,000, some say 1,200. The smile lingered on his lips, even as his eyes began to glaze. And he spoke an epitaph for the Warsaw ghetto.
It is not for these to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it. Tell them to mark that on my grave.
It is not for thee to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it. Yes. Tell them to mark that on our grave.
Hail, Mole Rachamim, Shochein Damromim, Amesei Menucho Nechono.
Hear him with reverence, for he sings a prayer for the dead. 25,000 dead. It is no ordinary prayer. They are not ordinary dead. For they are the dead of the Warsaw Ghetto in the year 1943. Tonight, they sleep in their last rest. Their choirs dispersed in ashes. Their holy books sodden in the seventh month's rain. The rubble deep on the thresholds of their house. They were Jews with guns. Understand that. And hear him with reverence as he chants the prayer. For on the page of their agony, they wrote a sentence that shall be an atonement, as it is this. Give me grace and give me dignity and teach me to die. And let my prison be a fortress and my wailing wall a stockade. For I have been to Egypt, and I am not departed.
You have just heard a dramatization titled The Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Jewish Committee, celebrating the forthcoming Jewish holiday, Hanukkah. The script was written by Morton Wishengrad and starred Mr. Raymond Massey. The program was under the direction of Anton Leder. Music was arranged and conducted by Morris Mamorsky. Cantor David Potterman sang the liturgical music. Copies of the dramatization, The Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto, may be secured free of charge by writing directly to the American Jewish Committee, 386 4th Avenue, New York City, 16, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.